Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This September series of podcasts is sponsored by Sweetwater, who, for the month of September, are rolling out incredible exclusives. Like Fender Custom Shop GT11 Strats and Tennies and the Walrus Deep 6 Voyager Combo Pedal. Plus major deals on coveted gear like the Way Huge Javelina Fuzz at a super low price while supplies last. And that's not all. September is Guitar Month and it's absolutely packed with mind-blowing giveaways. 48-month interest-free financing on many great brands and plenty of price drops, instant rebates and limited-time offers that you won't want to miss out on. Did I mention that Sweetwater is now a Guinness World Record title holder? To find out more, go to sweetwater.com, stop by their YouTube, or listen to the rest of this podcast series. Hello and welcome to the Friday Special Podcast Series, a podcast by Guitar Nerds, hosted by me, Joe Branton, and our resident Guitar Nerds pedal expert, Matt Knight.
Hello there.
Every week on this podcast series, our lineup will include a guest from the world of pedals. And this week, we're lucky enough to have Ryan Dick from Temple Audio here with us on the show. Hello, Ryan.
Well, hello.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. It's wonderful to have you on here. Now, this series is sponsored by Sweetwater, and there's obviously a good reason for that. As I'm sure, listener, you are well aware, it's September, which means it's Guitar Month. And Sweetwater have taken this year very seriously. Indeed, they've gone after the Guinness World Record for largest functional pedal board, featuring over 300 individual stomp boxes. And really, who better to talk about that with than the fellow who actually managed to make all that stuff work, Ryan from Temple Boards. What a ridiculous thing to be able to get involved in.
Yeah, it was ridiculous indeed.
So the way this actually worked was, it sounded very, very sensible. The whole thing was very sensible. There were lots and lots of mini pedal boards rather than it being, you know, one sort of massive load of pedals. I think I did one a couple of years ago, and you know, we just put everything in rows and then plugged in lots of patch cables, and then after that started to work out how many power supplies we were going to need, and you know, there were wires crossing all over the place, and essentially it was, you know, as you would expect, we made it to 150, but really, honestly, it was just white noise. This what you did was actually great, because you dealt with everything individually on the Temple boards. But the Temple boards are kind of different from your normal pedal board. I guess for any listeners who aren't aware of Temple boards and how they work, could you give us an overview on I guess the basic idea and principle of Temple boards?
Yeah, the basic idea and principle was to try and create something that was as modular as possible for the end user. We like to say from artist to artist. So we try and think of what is this artist needs, what are they going to need to be creative and be the artist they want to be. And discovered that no two artists, no two people are really alike. So it was an effort to how can you give the end user the most function possible on a single platform. And that's how the Temple Board came to be.
And I guess that's where sort of the idea of making things modular comes from, because of course, if you were trying to design a pedal board for every different type of musician, you would have literally hundreds in your catalog. And you do actually have, there's a massive range of sizes, certainly in comparison to you know, companies like Pedal Train, who you'd probably consider to be, certainly in this country, the most common pedal board to find on the shop floor. You do a lot more sizes because you split your sizes into tiers just from a sort of basic standpoint. Before we even look at the modular size, you can go straight right up to like a three-tier deep pedal board in varied width.
Yeah, so we call them series. So you have the solo series, the duo series, and the trio series. Again, very basic. Solo was kind of designed for one row of pedals, and you can, you know, have one, we call it mini module, and one micro module on each side. Then you move up to the duo series, size for two rows of pedals, typically. Trio series, three. Most people get the gist after that.
Yeah. So the mini and the micro modules, I guess, explain that a bit more, because this is the bit that I love about these boards, being able to integrate these things.
Yeah, so the mini module, if you're looking at what we call the end cap of the board, so that's the side of the board, it's the rectangular shaped module. So this is where we're typically doing patch bays and other routing style connectivity options. The micro module is more the square looking one, which was really designed for your power in or power out or kind of single style connectors.
Absolutely. And those are kind of two things that I think are becoming more of a standard, more of a thing that people want on pedal boards, kind of across the board. But really, I think certainly patch bays and integrated power was something that we were only seeing on the incredibly sort of premium price, custom built, often sort of fancy wooden pedal boards. Whereas, you know, you've introduced them as something that you could feature on your own, on a board of any size, so essentially any price point.
That's correct.
So was the when you initially, I was just, you know, sort of looking at the history and stuff on your website. So did you have the kind of the module and the top plate idea from the off, or did it take like a few months? Did it take a few goes? Because I'd imagine even like the punching pattern and the hole pattern must have taken a little bit of kind of trial and error to make sure you could maximize the space.
That is correct. Actually, there is what we call a version one and a version two perf pattern. So what you see today is what's, I guess, we call version two. The first perforated design pattern had a few flaws to it. Quickly realizing that it wasn't going to work for every combination of pedal, which was a challenge in itself to figure out.
Yeah, crikey! How do you even go about working out what all the you're always going to potentially run the risk of something, you know, like that not working with anything that. Imagine if something new comes out in a completely new chassis, and immediately becomes very popular. This is how risky.
Yeah, so it was a lot of trial and error and market research to figure out, primarily with the quick release system. So that's the little plates that you can stick to the back of the pedal, which then lock into the perforated grid pattern and attach with the thumb screw. So in the pedal industry, at least as it sits right now, you've got kind of your small mini style pedals. And so that you can, the small pedal plate is sized around that lineup or style of pedal. Then you've got your very common, like your Hammond 1590s, the very standard Boss sized, as people say, stomp box enclosure, which is what the medium plate is designed around. And then your larger, any larger pedal, you've got Strymon's, you've got Memory Man's, you've got, you name it. That's kind of where the large plate comes into play.
So the quick release system, so these kind of base plates, were they in there from the start, or was that something that sort of came out a bit later, or did that evolve with the development of the pedal board?
No, that kind of was there from the start. The way it all started was I had a guitar player ask me to build him a pedal board, which I did. And one of the criteria he had was he didn't want Velcro.
Right, okay.
Velcro is a funny thing to become a standard because it is very messy. If you're using good quality Velcro, it becomes very difficult to actually get your pedals off without a sort of, you know, a flathead screwdriver to sort of yank the pedals off. And of course, you know, at shows and things, they get covered in, the Velcro gets covered in muck. This is an excellent sort of clean alternative.
Yeah. So that's kind of where it started. And obviously we have the quick release pedals plate system, as it's called. But it's also to create, let people think outside the box, I guess is how I put it. You can use zip ties, or you can take screws out of your pedal and screw them in directly if you want. You kind of have a vast array of options available to you aside from necessarily using the pedal plate if that's not something that you want to do. Some people don't like sticking things to the back of their pedal, Velcro included. So how else do you mount a pedal?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing I really like about it is that obviously being modular, or people out there have obviously got more pedals than one pedal board would allow, is the fact that you can have your entire collection, if you want, of pedals with the quick release system and then just swap them out super easy.
Yeah, it is very common. We see people, they will purchase whether a big board first or a small board first and then kind of flip it around. So people say, you know, I've got a Trio 43 in my basement with all my pedals, and you know, I'll set up a Duo 17 for whatever show I'm playing that week or whatever. You've got those people that are constantly switching stuff out, and then you also have the people that just have their setup, they have it set up and that's the way it is and that's the way they like it, and it works well for both.
Yeah.
This is kind of the thing that I think is very unique about Temple Audio, is it's not just the fact that you can select these the modular elements, and of course, you know, they can be anything from sort of, you know, you can have everything from like MIDI ins to sort of FireWire connectors on the little modules, as well as having your patch bay. You also then have the quick release feature. So it's kind of like if this company had one of those, you know, either the modules or the quick release, it'd be like, oh yes, this is sort of a forward thinking pedal board company that's trying to make something super usable. But it's actually both of those things, and then you do custom colors as well, which I was very excited about. I assume you can do a shell pink option on these.
We could.
Yeah, oh, there you go. It's even better. The guitar nerd's
signature
color of choice, and of course, and actually, listener, if you've never checked out Temple Audio, you also probably have the best pedal board builder on the internet at the moment. Certainly, one of the most comprehensive when it comes to actually sourcing pedals. By pedal board builder, I of course mean there's a page on the website where you can select your Temple pedal board, and then from a list of drop down of brands, you can move on the various pedals onto that to see to make sure you're buying the right Temple board for your amount of pedals, which is great. I was able to find like things I wasn't expected to. I managed to build my board. I managed to find like the Petty John Iron and Chime, even an old Boss OC2 and an Origin FX Caddy 76. I was pretty happy with that. You kind of had everything sewn up. It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's worked well, even just to create a catalog of available pedals.
Yeah.
That's obviously data we need to know.
yeah.
Based in what we do. And it became a very cool utility for users to be able to virtually plan. Because us gear nerds, you always have to try things out and play around and decide. And another thing people don't realize is you can, typically speaking, you can fit more pedals on a temple board size than say an equivalent sized other brand board.
Right. Okay.
So you can, if you're trying to really make your rig compact, right. You can
try to really cram them in.
You can cram. We call it playing Tetris.
Right. Pedal Tetris.
Yeah. We all know about that a lot.
I think that's the great thing, though. You say that with the quick release is, because I've used your boards before when we've done like product shoots and stuff, and we're putting things on that, and you can, with everything on the base plates, you can just rearrange stuff until it fits. Whereas like with Velcro, you kind of have to like either have no Velcro on there at all, so everything's sort of sliding around and you're sort of guessing, or you Velcro everything down and then realize you've really just not left enough space. So this kind of allows you to really sort of, yeah, just like move things around on a daily basis, which I guess there's a lot of players out there doing that, well, I mean, myself included, like moving their pedal board all of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, kind of coming back around to the Sweetwater event, how much pre-planning it was involved in that, kind of from your end? Because you know, it's all very well, I think, for kind of all the pedal builders to have been able to, you know, just have their range of pedals provided. Did you have to work out what boards were going to be best for this sort of thing?
Somewhat. Originally, actually, when Natalie approached me with the idea, I thought they actually wanted one giant pedal board. So I was like, oh, this would be awesome. I'd gladly build that.
Oh, and, well, that would have been great.
And then I realized, I was like, well, no, it has to be commercially available products. So I was like, oh, okay, well, then that means we're going modular.
Yeah.
So we picked the Duo 24. It is the most popular size board.
Is it? The Duo 24 is the most popular size. Yeah. That's interesting.
Mm. And it just, it's kind of that size where the most.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's the most available configurations,
right?
Especially now, in an event like this, like I had no idea what pedals, what all pedals there were going to be, what size they were, course. What quantities. It was just going to show up. There's going to be a pile of pedals and we've got to mount these onto a variety of boards.
Wow. Carry on.
No, I'm just saying it's the Duo 24 kind of is your most versatile, right. Common size board.
And
there.
Is that, would the Duo 24, is that like a four up, four down sort of, roughly sort of with pedal distribution? Is that how much you'd sort of say it is?
Yeah, between 10 and 12 pedals typically.
Oh, really? Right. Okay, fine.
Is what you can mount.
Two rows of five. That's great. And that's the most common size. Wow. I would have expected a smaller pedal board to be the most, commonly purchased Temple pedal board. I mean, certainly, you know, we're guitar nerds, we're fans of the biggest pedal boards you can possibly get. but I expect sort of the average guitarist to be buying something with, I don't know, six pedals. So that's cool. It's good that the big pedal boards are kind of becoming the standard. And actually, Sweetwater are also, they're doing a giveaway throughout all of September, so you can actually win a couple of these your pedal boards mounted up with a whole load of pedals from the event as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was unique when it's like you can win a piece of history. So it's a functional board, but it's part of a much bigger board.
Yeah, so I think Brian Wampler was telling us, you know, the way that you guys ended up wiring up the pedals is that there is a board of compressors and a board of drives. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, some poor person's going to win a board of tuners, which, you know, I don't know.
No one said you're winning a practical board.
Yeah, just winning a piece of history is two very different things.
Exactly.
So with the build, did you mount the quick release system on every single pedal then?
Whoa. The guys around helping, they were like, "Really? We have to do this?" And it's like kind of like, "Well, we're doing something so absurd, why not go all the way?"
Yeah. And with regards to power supplies, that was your own built-in power supplies that were being used, is that right?
Yeah, so that was kind of the fun slash nightmare of the whole thing, was when I posed the question, how are you going to power these all, no one really knew or had an idea.
I see, great.
So the product was on the roadmap for, well, it's been on the roadmap for a couple of years, and this event kind of gave us the boost to push it through and get it finished in time.
Yeah, I guess you had to get quite a few of them finished in time. So this is your own Temple Board power supply. And what sort of juice and connectors can we get from that?
Yeah, so the power supply itself, we did team up with a power supply company called Chox. I'm assuming you've probably heard of them or are familiar with them. So they had come out with a new technology. It would be a couple years ago is when we started talking about the project. And my goal was kind of, how can we get the most powerful compact power supply that you can mount in the side of your Temple Board? And that was kind of the general idea of the product. So it's five fully isolated channels, four voltage selections on every channel. And they're all high current. So you've got 660 milliamps at 9 volts, kind of as your baseline.
Wow.
Which is enough to power, well, and as we saw in the event, it was enough to power any pedal out there.
Yeah, that's enough to power anything. That's enough for any size board.
Yeah. And worst case, like the most absurd pedals, like the Digitech Whammies that needed, you know, 1.1 amps at 9 volts, all we had to do was double the current. With a current doubling cable using two outlets to one.
Oh, sweet. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's cool.
So we can confidently say that the power supply can power any pedal out there available on the market that is known of.
I mean, this is the ultimate test for that. And nothing broke as well.
And nothing
it powered
broke.
Everything fine.
And with no noise, like no power supply noise, which is a very hard feat to achieve.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the ultimate test for any power supply. Do you know how much the power supplies are retailing for?
The map price is $149 US.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
I think the fact that you can link multiple ones together as well. So on your board, if you're using one of the biggest boards you've got, I guess you can link two of those together and still have an input output buffer or, you know, something like that. So you can really kind of chain a bunch of them together, which is great.
Yeah, the link feature is nice because, you know, if you put one on one side of the board and one on the other side of the board, you kind of have now a distributed power setup, which really helps cabling. You're not trying to run all your cables to just one box somewhere on your board.
Yeah, and do you think, obviously the idea for you guys is obviously for people to buy these with their Temple boards, but do you think you'll see a lot of people kind of, because I can see this as just a generally great power supply on its own, you know, because again, you know, some people, you know, run a small pedal board, but maybe in today's market, you know, they're running two Strymans on a small pedal board or even, you know, like say something like a Whammy, just one of these power supplies would kind of do everything, I guess.
Yeah, that's the idea. Obviously, you could use it without a Temple board, with the faceplate on the front, it's clearly designed to install into the side of the board, but there is nothing stopping you from not using it as intended.
And so what do you get with it then? Do you get all the cables and everything to go in it? Do you get the link cables with it, or does it just use standard? Because like the inputs are like almost like a phono input, right?
Yeah, they're an RCA style of jack. So yeah, the unit does come with eight. They're called flex cables. That kind of covers your most standardized pedals. Plus there is a cable for any possible pedal out there. So if you've got, you know, a really weird, you know, like the little headphone jack style plug or something on some of the really old pedals, you can get the required cables that you need as well.
Wow. And is there anything that you get like requested for a lot that you'd like to put on? I guess you kind of got most outputs covered with your modules, right? I'm sure there must be some crazy requests out there, but you sort of, I mean, even the fact that you've got USB, I think, is amazing. You know, because there's, you know, loads of people are using iPads now and stuff, and they're running it on their mic stand, and it's just a way to kind of keep power to your pedals with your power to your iPad and have something for your pedal board as well.
Yeah. No, in terms of modules, there's a lot more in the lineup that you'll see coming out hopefully in the near future here. It's kind of the focus of the direction now in terms of what products you'll be seeing coming from us.
Ooh, that's exciting. Nice. Sounds like you're going to have an exciting winter NAMM in that case.
Yep. Yeah, it could be very exciting.
Now, I would love to talk about the evolution of the Temple Board, as in the version 1.0, which was a board that featured your own true bypass switches on the front of it. That was the very first Temple Board, right?
That was the very first Temple Board. So that was the one I alluded to earlier. The artist, he didn't want Velcro.
Right.
It also, he had, I think it was 13 pedals, my memory is now a bit foggy, that needed to be on the board with a true bypass looper. And he was flying, like, I think 300 days of the year type of thing. So it had to be very flying friendly. So
how can you make a pedal board with 13 switches on the front flying friendly? That is an incredible thing to have to build.
So yeah, I took a Pelican size case because it was the lightest, most durable case out there. And that's what set the size of that board, which is now the Duo 34.
Right. Okay.
That size has stayed with through the whole evolution of it. But yeah, the Temple Board, as you know it now, did start with the built-in bypass loopers. That was kind of what I thought at the time was cool. And it was very functional. It was a very small, compact design, you know, having all the features right in the board. But the price points weren't favorable to the market.
Right. This was, you know, obviously going to be my next question is, what, you know, why did he stop making pedal boards with built-in switches? It seems like something that no one else is doing. But yes, I imagine considering the price of a switcher, you know, on its own from any of the other sort of major switcher brands, I imagine integrating that into a pedal board is going to make this rather expensive.
And it was highly customized because, you know, each channel was labeled the way the person wanted it. And this again is what spurred the modular aspect of it. Because you'd have, you know, this guy wanted inputs and power on the right and the other guy wanted it on the left. And so that's kind of what created the list of different possibilities that made it so that it couldn't just be fixed in the board that way. It had to be modular. It had to be in such a way that the end user could change the configuration.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it was absolutely fantastic, but yeah, you've brought Temple boards into kind of a level of versatility and and you know the ability for anyone to customize them how they want whilst keeping them at a, you know, at a price point which is pretty much level with the rest of the market. And of course all the temple boards are available with soft cases or what look like fantastic flight cases as well. You've got that option in the shop as well.
Yeah.
Well, that actually brings us up to time on this week's episode of the Friday Special by Guitar Nerds. Thanks very much for listening, and thank you very much, Ryan, for joining us on this week's podcast.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, not at all. Now you can check out Temple pedal boards on templeaudio.com. You can check out their Temple pedal board planner, which is literally hours of fun at Temple Planner. .com and you can follow Guitar Nerds and all of the standard social medias via at Guitar Nerds and join the discussion on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. And we'll be back next Friday with I think Josh Scott next Friday and next Wednesday with the regular episode of the podcast and for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.